Hey, this is Config from North, and you're listening to The Center Ring.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 76 coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, September 27th, 2017. The time, 7:53 p.m. Central Standard Time. I don't want to lie to you, but we might have the best episode ever. We said last week we were going to talk Overwatch League, and boy, are we. Anuj has some fancy points that he needs to defend, erroneous points even, that he will defend.
Bruh.
You'll have your turn, sir. You hold your tongue.
He's going to boot this.
We do have Anuj here, though. Anuj, hello, sir.
What's up, fellas? How you doing?
We're doing. Brett? Come in, Brett.
Coming in.
We have Brett through the power of the internet. We'll see if the storms in our area will keep it alive.
Kind of scary.
So if all of a sudden, Brett, you just don't hear from him. He's either dead or is internet disconnected?
One of the two.
There's no other possibilities. And I might be dead by the end of this episode because my allergies, I don't know if you can hear it in my voice.
Just killing it. You sound handsome,
dude,
as always, man.
It's that time of year, man. My allergies are bonkers right now.
Weather doesn't know what it wants to be.
No. Yet. No, man. It's the fall in Texas. What can we say? I can say this, though. Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Join the conversation on our Discord. Hit us up on iTunes. Leave a review.
If you can.
And our website, tcr.gg. Do whatever you must to ensure that the show lives on into perpetuity. And before we get into the Overwatch League, I did just want to let you know. And if you're already hearing this, you probably already heard that. But there may have been an ad at the start of this episode. I'm not sure. We basically teamed up with these guys called Audio Stack, and they run advertisements. So one day maybe we can make a penny off
one
this
day.
Podcast. Listen, I think they're only about 30 seconds, so skip them. If you don't want to listen to them, I don't care.
Just listen to us, at least.
Just listen to us. That's all I care about. But if you ever wanted to support the show, we never asked for donations or anything like that. You listening to the ad, and again, I don't even know if you have to listen to it, but, you know, stick around and listen to us, and that's all we ask for. But that explains, maybe, that there's ads. I'm not really sure if they've started yet. We'll see. I don't know. But let's get into this Overwatch League, because they just, you know, we said in an e-news last week that they announced all the details. Preseason is starting, I think it was like December 6th, where the regular season is starting.
Beginning of January sometime.
Beginning of January, like I think early, like first week of January, right after the new year. They have the 12 teams finalized, very heavily based in the States, with Boston, New York, two LA teams, Miami, Orlando, San Francisco, Dallas, Houston, and Philadelphia. Right there, I think that's like, what, nine teams in America. Then you have London. You got Shanghai in China, number one. And then you have Seoul in South Korea. A lot of people I saw a post on Reddit. Say what you will if that's a lot of people commenting, upvote, whatever. Saying that the disparity of teams is messed up because they're all centrally located in, you know, America.
Yeah.
Like, not even NA, But America, right? Canada doesn't have a team. Mexico doesn't have a team. Whatever, right? I say to that, get over it, right? It's, I don't know how Blizzard ended up signing the players, where if it was involving...
like signing the teams, you mean, or talking
about
players? Well,
the spots. Yeah. Let me correct myself. Signing the spots. How Blizzard signed the spots over to the teams.
They sent me the details on that, actually, when I emailed them.
Oh, did they?
They said they paid $20 million, and whoever paid that $20 million got that spot.
But was it, like, $20 million for London, or was it... like, did Blizzard tell you where you could buy the slots, is what I'm saying?
I'm sure you had some say if you're putting up that much money. I mean, an owner, for example, in Seoul, Korea... might not want to invest $20 million if his team is based out of Austin, Texas. You know, like, so there had to be some. It's never 100% one way or the other, but with that much money on the table, and you see where some of these teams are located along with who owns them, like Robert Kraft, I don't think it's just random that his team is in Boston, you know? So
I'm sure it just had to be a market that could sustain a team. I mean, they're not going to let a team in, you know, come up random U.S. city. I don't know. But, I mean, I guess it just had to be a sustainable, you know, market.
These are land games, right?
That's up for debate.
That's the plan, right?
I think the plan is that each city would have land events. Now, I cannot find, for the life of me, so if there's a listener out there that knows, please let me know on Twitter at Pirate Mushroom. But I can't find if all these are going for the first season are going to play it at the LAN arena in LA that Blizzard built. Like, you know, like, so Dallas and Houston will just fly to LA to do their first matches there for season one. Or is there going to be a LAN arena here in Dallas? Did my lights just flicker?
They did.
Okay. Well, I might also lose power with these storms going on. We'll see. We'll figure it out. Stay tuned, but I don't know, like, if Houston's going to play in Dallas, right? I think they might be playing at the arena in L.A.
It's land,
but I don't think it's going to be, you know.
All over the place. It'll be in one central location,
if it was
probably.
Online, though?
Oh, my God.
Like, Korean team
I would tap like, out and work. Never take it
Well,
serious.
L.A. would make sense because at least it's, like, somewhat convenient to come from Seoul, Korea, or China.
And I don't think anyone's going to complain that you're flying to LA.
Probably not, yeah.
Now, I think overall, though, I'm happy with the team locations, right? It's all finalized now. 12, we mentioned it last week that when it was first announced, it was 7, I think. And we were all kind of worried that this seems like a weird number to start with, and everyone had their doubts.
Obscure number in, like,
yeah.
You're seeing the same teams play the same teams week to week to week. That would just get boring quick.
And you were okay with it at the time, right? Because you were comparing it to, like,
yeah, well,
when real sports started. You know, I say real sports, like when the NBA started, when the NFL started.
I think the NBA started with, like,
a low number of teams.
10 teams.
I think 12 is a good round number to start off with compared to, like, a
7-team league. Especially, like, where today's world, right? Like, when the NHL started, A, it wasn't on TV. There were no TVs. I don't think the following base behind the NHL when they started with 6 teams were already in the millions.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With projected billions in dollars. So that's completely different now where you could probably start with 12 teams. You could probably have started with a 32 team league and at least had some comfort that this would work out.
Yeah.
Because there's 75,000 pros.
Yeah, right. The pool is massive to pick from, but apparently not so massive to where guys like Gods from Cloud9 and Shatter2K, formerly of Team Liquid, are tweeting out saying that they are looking for Overwatch League teams. Like, it's gotten to the point now where some of these guys who were on rosters, right, are now basically sitting at the side of the road with their signs out saying looking for work because, yes, there's 12 teams, but what's the roster size? It's only 9? They mentioned it long time ago. But it's not that big. to where you
and you'll
can
truly
do that.
Have like a starting lineup too. It's not like it's going to be like.
Well, I mean, for example, one of the big signings that happened this week, huge signing, Siegel signed with Envious. So they signed with the Dallas team.
Yeah.
Game over, bro.
Let me build on that. Like, I watch a lot of pros on Twitch, and a lot of them are very niche-y. Like, they'll play tanks, and tank players are tank players. You know, they're not. There's very few players out there, pros, that will play multiple class types. So having that big of a roster, if you're on a map that needs an extra tank, yeah, swap a player out for another player that, you know, mains a tank and then go from there. So I mean, I don't find it out of the ordinary.
But with like Siegel signing with Envious, you know, they even said, I think it was on Twitter is where I saw it, that where Hastro, who's on Envy, is on Envy, said that no, they're not, like, Siegel is not going to be part of their constant six-man roster, that they're going, I mean, that's their strategy, is rotating players in and out based off the strategy, based who off they're playing, who they might think they need more in that match, and everything there, which is pretty awesome.
It's pretty awesome that he's a superstar, and they're saying that about him. Like, nobody has a set place.
I want to wait to see if they actually do
that. If that actually works out, yeah, or if like, you're like, you know what, we win a lot with Siegel.
You're selling your organization right now because you're probably trying to get good backups to sign with you. And if you start off before you signed a full roster and be like, Siegel's got one of the spots, no one's touching it, like everybody else fight for your spot, it's probably going to be a little rough to sign three solid backups.
I want to see what that payday was.
I bet it was crazy.
To sign Siegel?
To sign him?
Hastro tweeted out earlier that the initial investment, counting like salary money and all that, was about $35 million for Envious to make the move. 20 of that, obviously, is the buy-in money.
That's
including the buy-in money, but another $15 million in just...
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Maybe somewhere. Relocating.
It's going to be a lot of different things, yeah. Right.
And that tells me, like, the amount of money that these owners are putting up front for, you know, to get in the league and salaries, that expansion's coming. So players like Shatter 2K and Gods, I mean, eventually we'll find a team because there's going to be more, don't you think?
At least more as teams. You mean later on, like, with more, when there are more than 12 teams?
Yeah, because I think...
Well, like, yeah, but I mean, who knows when that comes, right? Because you think that the buy-in for a new franchise next year will be $20 million.
Just depends on how the league does.
That's what I'm saying.
You have to wait to see how it does.
See how it works. Yeah,
they'll probably let this go for a couple of years.
It won't go below $20 million.
Not unless the game is not doing well. You know, if it's not doing well, then yeah, it would, right? But if it does well,
I don't think you're looking at expansion at that point. Unless Blizzard is literally just doing it to get...
Like, hey, we need some money from somewhere.
We just want 10
million. Probably not going to be the case, but I think, you know, a 20 million buy-in, a lot of people are probably waiting to see. Not many people are going to have that many investors to get them to that cap, plus salaries, plus travel expenses, living, whatever they're paying for at this point.
And we're speaking of signing rosters. Okay. I think we mentioned it either last week or maybe 2 weeks ago at this point. Where Cloud9 ended up signing Kongdu's roster, South Korean team, full South Korean team. And in contrast, you have guys who are on Cloud9 right now, like Gods, not playing. And so it's very confusing to me. I don't want to get into it right now, I want you to have the floor, because in our group chat, to kind of talk about the show, what's going to be on the show throughout the week, you were very meh over the whole fact that an American organization who owns the London team signed a South Korean roster. And I know you're upset about that, so I wanted you to talk about that, because I don't want to get on a tangent about the fact that Cloud9 is signing like every team and they're still considered Cloud9.
Yeah.
The floor is yours.
Oh, we're going into it now?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we brought this up, right? You know, again, North American organization owning a London-based team, signing a South Korean squad. This is where the dilemma comes in of not being diverse enough and where your locations are, right? There's only one South Korean location. So you can't have all the best South Korean players, obviously, on one organization. Like, it's not going to happen, right? So that's part A of the problem. The second issue that I had with this was just, if you're really trying to build the teams to be location-based and, like, kind of pimp them out that way, right? Like, rebrand yourself and make that city yours, I guess you could say. I just find it unusual, I guess you could say would be the word. It's not like if they got a good roster, they got a good roster, but unusual that you wouldn't sign any players that can almost relate to the fans in terms of, like, putting them out there. As far as I know, they don't speak any English, right? Like, is that right or wrong?
I have no idea.
That's what I would...
I have no idea.
See, now, that changes it if that's not the case, right? Like, if they at least can speak to
I'm
the
sure
fan base...
I'm sure they could probably hold some conversation.
I guess we'll see, right? We've seen it the other way, too, with, like, full Asian teams. Like, they might not speak a lick of English.
I'm sure they know a riddle.
Hopefully. Hopefully, right? So, my problem is that just if you're trying to build it to the community, the location, you've limited yourself because 9 of your locations are in the United States, so you're not going to be able to really brand yourself that way. So it's just a little bit of a turnoff. It's not like it's the worst thing in the world. I'm not going to smash my head over the wall on this.
Have you come down from it from like a week ago then?
Yeah, part of it was looking
at the... Because a week ago you were saying like this doesn't make any sense. Like, why would you even get excited?
Yeah, I mean, I have because I went and looked at all the locations, right? I was like, well, where else could they have been based? We got one team in China, one team in Korea. Not many options for them. So I don't want an amazing talent
just
sit there
right,
and not play. I would rather see the best players in the world playing ultimately.
And given that they all are from South Korea, you're not going to see, especially with season one, I think a lot of the roster signings you're going to see, like the fact that Itseagle was kind of an independent at this point anyway in time, so he had the freedom. He said a lot of teams reached out to him. But I think for the most part in season one, you're going to just see full rosters get signed over.
It's the easiest way to do it.
Because they already have that chemistry built up, and then you'll start seeing franchise make trades or buy out people.
Free agents and whatnot.
Right, free agency and how all that plays out. You're going to see it there.
I'm also a little curious if they're going to, like, one thing we talked about when we were all talking together was if they're going to relocate to the location, right? Like, are they going to end up living in London? I think that would be cool if they did that. But, again, I mean, I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Well, because there's a season, I think that's going to be the case because that's where they're going to be based out of. You know, if it was like something like CS is like a year-round esport. So, I mean, it'd be hard to relocate and be in one place at once like Optic's going through right now. But with this, they have a season. It's from one point to one point. It has an end game. So I would think it would be a pretty easy transition.
And but if all the games are land, then what does it matter? Like to move to London,
if you're flying
to LA anyway to go play.
Well, we don't know, right? I mean, we're just speculating at this point. Like, we really don't know. But I could see it being an easy transition.
For me, I'd like to see them personally live in London. I think that would help, like, grow them in that area.
And more to your point, like, you know, having a, you know, players from one region playing in a region that, you know, maybe a language they don't speak. I think cities can still. Cities like a winner, right? So if they're winning, do you think they're going to care if they're not speaking the same language? Am I looking at your point totally wrong here? No,
I mean, that's what I was saying, right? If they're good, I don't think it matters as much. They'll grow the fan base there. I'm just saying for a new brand, you know, to come in, claim to be the London's team. Like, that's what they're saying, right? Like, they're calling them the city's teams. Everything you hear about these signings is envious as Dallas, right? They're like pimping out Dallas. Houston and San Antonio and Austin are like Optic. Like, that's their area.
We can get onto that one in a second.
So, but you
know
what?
That's the dumbest comment I've ever read.
What is?
We're Optic COO was saying that they want to represent
San Antonio, Austin, Houston.
Yes. No, you're Houston. I'm sorry. You can't just be like, well, we want to also represent San Antonio
and
Austin.
But that's kind of what the initial...
And what about Lubbock and El Paso?
Yeah, right.
And,
but that was kind of the
Galveston,
initial sayings,
Galveston.
Right? Was we thought it was going to be... Envious was supposed to be like Dallas, Houston or something. There was something like
well,
that.
Well, Envious was Austin and Dallas.
Austin,
it was originally
Dallas.
That pairing. But that's how it was labeled as. Like the Miami-Orlando, right? That's how it's labeled. You can't just be like...
They're my cities.
They're our cities right now. This is how we're going to market it.
I mean, regionally, they're close together. I mean, so if you're going to be a fan of a Houston team, someone from San Antonio is probably going to be a fan of that Houston team, maybe over a Dallas team, because, you know, of proximity. But
yeah,
you
but
can't.
This brings me to my next point. You cannot call yourself
three cities.
No, no,
like you cannot have three cities in your name.
This brings me to my next point, though, that these teams need to start rebranding.
Yeah.
Right. We heard it like a month ago now, where Blizzard is saying you have to rebrand. Like, you cannot just be.
Has anyone rebranded yet?
No one has rebranded. No. I'm assuming behind closed doors, this is all being worked on, and it's going to be one giant reveal. Like, I'm assuming Blizzard does not want you trickling this out. They just want it to be one giant announcement. This is your Overwatch League. Right?
That would make sense.
I think behind closed doors, Blizzard is probably having more hands-on involvement with this than all the other announcements. But they're going to have to rebrand soon, because the longer this goes on, the more and more attached you're going to get fans to an organization and not the brand, right?
Yeah, like, I'm ready to buy my Dallas jersey. Where's that at?
Yeah, I mean, you got to think, man. We're two months away from preseason. You got marketing. You got merch you want to sell. You got to get a website going for your team.
Yeah.
How many times do you hear, you know...
I like the idea of doing a big reveal, though. But they should do it quickly, right?
Like, that's what I'm saying. But I think if they
like
do
a Hunger Games thing, coming into the arena, to, like, you have your
That's
own
what I'm saying, though.
Meet.
Yeah, if they do, like, a big reveal, they have, like, all the teams there, like, all the players are there.
Like, BlizzCon would have been a cool idea to do that at.
I almost want, like, an opening ceremony for this. Right. Well, when is BlizzCon?
It's coming up. I keep seeing the virtual ticket sales
coming up. Let's see, when is BlizzCon 2017? I bought the virtual ticket, so... think I would know this.
So obviously
that wouldn't be November 3rd and 4th.
Yeah, so that'd be kind of a good timing because
that might not. Yeah, that might be when. That's a month away. That's a month prior. I mean,
a month before preseason. Also,
to me, it's too close because I would figure you'd want more than a month to get your brand out there. But knowing Blizzard, I could definitely see them doing a huge Overwatch League announcement at BlizzCon showing
really all they got
teams
at BlizzCon this year, so they better make it a big splash. What else are they going to talk about? The new
Diablo 2 HD remake, maybe.
And you know what? More to your point, Tim. You might be onto something. I wasn't even thinking about that, of just having like a huge reveal. I mean, it makes sense because we've heard nothing.
It's been radio silence. None of the teams have said anything, right? Like, I could understand, like, maybe Cloud9, Envy is not saying it, but none of the teams...
They have to know already. The teams would have to know something by now because they're the ones that are going to come up with a lot of the merchandise also for themselves. You know, they're going to be selling their own stuff and designers, labeling. Like,
it took us, like, 2 months to design and decide a logo for the podcast, okay? You think these guys are, like, just going to sit down a month prior and do this? Like, no. Like, they are going...
This had to have been done, I bet, when they were making their bids at $20 million to get the spot.
They probably had an idea on what they wanted to do. But my point is bringing it back to all these things, like Cloud9 signs the Kongdu roster, right? And I hate that because it's like, I want to see the London whatever signs so-and-so and the players. Like, I don't care that you signed an entire roster away or whatever. Tell me the players. Tell me the city that they're going to. Because at this point with the Overwatch League, Cloud9, I love you. You're an ownership group.
Yeah.
And I don't care anymore that it's Cloud9 signing these guys away. How many times do you hear, like, when the Texas Rangers sign a roster, do they label it, oh, so-and-so owner group signed this player? Like, never. It's always the Texas Rangers signed Yu Darvish.
Yeah. I mean, if NIP was to get a team and, you know, NIP sign, you know, Sinatra, I'm like, I can't get excited about that because I know it's not going to be NIP. My team's Dallas. Like, it's...
And that's why they need to get away from that brand, or they need to get away from the ownership brand, I should say, because already you have such a a fandom, I guess, a solid loyalty to brands in esports or even to players, right? Like, you have guys where they might like a certain team because of the player, where I could see, for example, it's all built in nationality, right? So, like, for the London team, right? Like, say that's where I could see your point, Anuj, being that it's a full South Korean roster being an issue, because that base area, that London area, already has its fan.
They probably already comparing like it fans. Partially to CSGO, right?
Yeah.
Like, CSGO is pretty regional for the most part.
It's
like
very
Navi
regional.
Is a CIS team every time. Envious is a French team every time. Like,
you're going to have Cloud9 be North American
yeah,
players.
Like, can you imagine if Cloud9 had a CSGO roster that was EU? Like, people would lose their minds because they're so prone to, like, not liking Cloud9 if you're an EU, like, a fan, right?
Right.
So maybe I'm comparing it to that, but I like that. Like, I feel like that brings, you know, watch any CSGO major and watch a North American team advance or a home country team advance and see the enthusiasm that goes with it. I think that's partially built up because look at how well, like, we've talked about these guys 1,000 times. VP relates to their fans, right? It's not because their ownership group is from the same country. It's because those players are. So
right.
There's that different type of bond there. So I hope to see that because I love CSGO's experience for fans going to watch it. Not just watching it on your PC, but like actually going to an event. It's an amazing experience.
It all depends on how they start. It all depends.
This to me is it's a breath of fresh air. Like, I love the fact that I can tie an esports team to a city. Like, I'm stoked. Like, I am so excited. I'm like I said just a while ago, I'm ready to buy gear. I'm ready to buy merch. I'm ready to go to, you know, matches. I'm ready to watch. Like, I like the fact that there's an esports team tied to my city.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's all Korean players. I don't care if it's all, you know, Chinese players. I really don't care.
I'm not disagreeing with the fact either that I do like the city branding. I do. Mm-hmm. Again, my point in this whole thing is the players that are tied to the city, right? So that's where the comparison should come in. Not, I love the fact that they're tied to cities just like organizations are in CS. They kind of are in that sense, mm-hmm. right? So I'm all up for that. My thought process is like, how will it attract, you know, your national country fans?
How will it grow, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to agree with both. And I think Anuj has me leaning more towards him now. At first, I was very against.
Was it the CSGO comparison that did it?
I think it was. But I don't want to give you too much credit.
Look at you with C9.
Well, and this is true. But the reason is I have no issue because we've always said that I wish people would sign away not based on nationality, right? Like, I would still like Cloud9 CS and everything if it was not all Americans or anything like that.
But if it was 5 Russians?
If it was 5 Russians, okay, so let's say this, right? And not even Russians, but like South Koreans.
Well, whatever.
Right?
Anything.
Like, that's a huge difference. Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, South Koreans, I can't even relate in any way to that roster.
Like, Ty Lue just signed with Cloud9.
So you have, right?
Right.
And then you have the same roster that I've been a fan of all of a sudden get signed away to some Russian team in the Counter-Strike League. Right?
Yeah.
If all of a sudden Cloud9's new South Korean roster is doing poorly off the start, I promise you I'm probably going to gravitate just watching the Russian team more because I've been a fan
of those players.
I've been rooting for those players for so long. And I think, like, how to go off of Brett's point, it's easy to say now that, hey, even if we had a Korean team, I'd be happy. When Dallas got Siegel and Envious and Temu, and you basically got a top 5 roster with names that you know.
Yeah, I mean, but I, you know.
And we're kind of fortunate in Dallas, right? We just got like 2 amazing stars on our team.
That's what I'm saying.
So
like, you
like
would, you, I think the tone, I think your opinion on, hey, I'm glad that they're branching out, but I think your tone of like, hey, I wouldn't care if it was a bunch of Chinese people on my team.
The Chinese.
I don't think, you know, the Chinamen. I think I'd be okay with that.
If they do well, all will probably be fine at the end of the day, right? If they come out there and they kick butt, it'll be great. If they suck and then they don't speak any English and there's no way to relate to the fans, well, good luck.
I can see to your more to your point. I'm a different kind of sports fan. Like, I'm a homer. I've been a Dallas Cowboys fan since, you know, I could remember. And my whole entire adult life, the Cowboys have sucked. They've been terrible. But I'm a fan of that team. I will always be a fan of that team. So I'm probably the minority sports fan. So I get your point. I get your point. But me, yeah, I would
be hard pressed if all of a sudden, you know, the Dallas team was a bunch of South Koreans that you had no way to relate. I would love to hear from someone who was a huge Overwatch fan in London and how they feel right now. Because our opinion, like I said, we are in Dallas. It's very different, right? When we got a team that we're very familiar with, guys that we're familiar with,
yeah,
even an organization and envious that we're familiar with, where now you have guys in London and they're like, well, damn. I guess this is
all right. They're our team.
Right.
This is it. Show vacation. We go to London. We interview people. Let's do this.
There you go.
Make it happen.
Well, there's no way we could possibly interview people from London without going there. So,
no,
that's
no,
a good business expense.
That's right.
Brett's the one that closed this France deal with Envious when he went to Paris, right?
That is true.
That's right.
You are our people EU don't know correspondent.
That. My wife wanted to go and like walk around and do things, but I was like, look, dear, I got stuff to do. All right.
Well, maybe now with our ads that we're running on the show before and after. So if you time two ads times two listeners an episode, that's four. Probably by like season five of Overwatch League, we could probably get there.
Close.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Hey, don't let our dreams be dreams. All right.
You never know, man. You never know. And we've been talking about the rebranding. We've been talking about roster moves and everything here with Overwatch League. That's all dealing with the franchise side of it. Where we want to now, I want to move on here real quickly to Blizzard's end of it. Because even throughout all this, right? Now, keep in mind, we're like 2 months away. They got time. And even when the Overwatch League starts, this is always going to be an organic growth. This is just a part of esports.
Like it is with any game.
Yeah, I mean, look at Counter-Strike. They do different changes every time. What I love about Counter-Strike is they'll do changes and then in 2 weeks later revert it back to the exact old patch because everyone hated what they did.
They have that beta server that they never even use.
Right. And I'm talking meta because the meta in esports is ever changing. It has to be or it's going to become stale. You're going to constantly see it over and over and it's just not how it works, right? You could probably say there's meta in traditional sports, right? You had the trap defense in hockey for a while. That worked. That
zone
went away.
Basketball,
Look
at the NFL. NFL went from your I-back formation to spread offenses. You know, yes. Like it's constantly changing.
Whatever you call it, meta,
but I'm ready.
Strategy, whatever.
Kill the overshift in baseball.
It's all there. And I know, Brett, this was going to be your baby, so I'll let you take this away as far as I know you're upset with the meta right now.
Well, you know, I'm more so concerned because I don't want to get to December, you know, watch these matches, get all excited, and just see a carry. I know you were arguing, Tim, that one thing you didn't like about Overwatch, right, was that there's really not a carry. But right now, right. I feel
it's
like...
Not so much that there's not a carry. It's just the inability to have a clutch player.
Okay, but right now there is. Like, for you know, Junkrat and Mercy, there are some things that they could tweak to make it more balanced. But right now, these characters are broken. And I don't want them to get to December and have these changes there. For example, it's more so Mercy... Like, great, you made her, a more active part of, being in the fight, not hiding, but being there, healing, damage boosting, what have you. Did we need Valkyrie to give Mercy a 7 second res, every second? No, we didn't. We didn't need that. Did we need Junkrat to have, I like the moves of Junkrat. And with the two mines, but does he still need to drop a landmine every time he dies? No. he's just they need there's some balance issues that I'm just worried about. How do you feel about it? I just don't want to get to December and just see these two characters being broken and just being a laughing stock. Like so, just
yeah. And I hear you there. I don't like Junkrat. As someone who has to as playing him, I don't like playing and trying to kill Junkrat now with the latest patches. But this is what I think. This is my opinion on meta. I don't think it's a popular opinion, but I'm not here to cater to diamond ranks or, you know, gold or even master ranks here. Okay, we're talking pro scene meta, right?
Right.
And I know Blizzard has said before that they do listen to pros and they do take their opinion. I wouldn't care at all if you saw completely different stats and patches for a pro scene environment. Because what some of the changes, and I understand it won't be the same game we play, but some of the changes Blizzards make are solely based off of a majority of people in gold rank and platinum rank and people who do not play the same style, the same strategies, the same meta as the pros that we are also watching.
I don't like that idea personally.
And I know a lot of people won't.
Like for me, that would be
in pro matches right now. Like, I don't know. I want it to be a balanced game, and we've been waiting for this so long. I just don't want it to get to December and just like pros, you know, just abusing one character and
so changing it for like one group versus the pro scene. I think that can't work. Like, that's a bad idea because you're building a player base that is not playing the same game as the pros are. Unless you do some sort of ESEA type thing where everybody has access to it, but then you're looking at possibly paying a monthly fee of some sort to like access that you'll never be able to grow the sport properly if your casual fan base, who some will eventually grow through it, look at a Rops or a Stewie or these people that have grown.
But don't you think though at the same time that's how you can I think there's a balance, and obviously we're not going to figure it out right now on this episode. No. But like look at I'm going to compare it to traditional sports now, but like basketball, right? There are different rules as you progress in life in basketball. The three-point line is farther.
But that's
closer.
Due to like strength, right? Like a college player, they don't feel like is as comfortable shooting from like 26 feet out versus 23 feet out. But they're not changing the full game. I mean, maybe college basketball is probably the biggest difference between the two. If you look at like college football, 1 foot in versus 2 feet in, maybe something like that. But college basketball is a kind of, I feel like, the anomaly here because you have zone defense that you can play 24/7 versus not being able to do. But the overall aspect of the sport is the same. I feel like with characters, they all have a unique function. And if you change one to do something else in the scene...
Let me word it this way then, because I understand your take there, and it, you know, that definitely will never happen. I mean, I know like with Halo 3 that happened, or even Halo 2, you had the MLG rules, which is what the pros use, and it's eventually Bungie made an MLG playlist. But for the longest time, the only way you could play those rules were in custom games where people wanted to play like the pros. The traditional multiplayer matchmaking setup was not the pro rules. They were completely different, but same, you know, like same damage, same everything. They're
that
just different
I'm pretty
rules.
Okay with if the rules slightly change, but right. Not the gameplay functions, because Counter-Strike does that. The bomb timer, well, they've evened it out now. They're close, right. Close in the gap. It's not the exact same, but the timer being slightly different, the round timers being slightly shorter. So I'm okay with some aspects of it changing, but not the physical, like, gameplay from character to character.
And I'll add one more thing to that then. And this is, again, just kind of what we're just spitballing in the ballpark, is when Blizzard is looking at balance updates or things to work on the meta, I think they should listen to the pros more than a gold.
And that's okay. Yeah. So if they tailor the game to fit the way it looks, you know, plays better in the pro scene, that's fine, you know, but it's got to be a universal change where it's not like right. These 300 players that are the best in the world play with these set of rules, with these unique, you know, abilities that these players can only do and nobody else can do it.
That's because I saw a post on Reddit before we did the show that Ana is now in Grandmaster ranks. Ana has the lowest winning percentage, even below Bastion right now in Grandmaster ranks, which is pretty insane considering at one point in time, she was the highest winning hero.
She was an auto. Like she was part of the meta.
Every time she would be picked. And I do think that is more, hearing that in Grandmaster should weigh a lot more with how they need to fix, whether or not you fix her or you lower or you adjust other heroes.
You do something.
Yeah, do something to fix that issue. Because I think whenever you have a healing hero being the lowest winning hero, that's probably not a good sign that they are ever going to be picked. Like in no scenario is that going to work.
And it's probably because there was a Mercy on the other team and they had an Ana, and, you know, that's probably why. I don't know.
I'm not Grandmaster, so I
not yet.
Can't. I play with Brett. I'll never be Grandmaster.
Whatever, dude.
He's just dragging me down. He's
so E-News, right? Time for E-News.
we'll go to E-News. Sure, why not? So in CSGO, in E-News, the Epicenter qualifiers, they're still going on here. Right now, no one's qualified, but have you seen some of the teams that like could possibly not be there? There's some good teams that are not good.
NIP is in like a final stage to play in or out.
Mm-hmm. You have like, there's going to be either Optic Gaming, Cloud9, or Liquid. One of those. Not two or all three. Only one of those teams can make it out of the American qualifiers.
Yeah, I believe Mousesports is also going to be playing for an elimination match. They've lost to Fnatic 3 times in a row now. They just cannot beat Fnatic. That's
some big teams that are going to be missing out.
Always a fun tournament, too. The way they do it.
No, so. It's going to be a good one there. Something about Na'Vi?
Yeah, this was more related to the WESG that's getting ramped up. We'll go more into that later. The Na'Vi thing was Team Ukraine looks a lot better than Na'Vi does. And so it'd be funny to see if this shifts into the actual light game. I mean, it's a realistic possibility, right?
Dude, Counter-Strike, that is... Listen, if I was a team owner in Counter-Strike, nothing would scare me more than these like WESG tournaments where it's a national-based tournament where you use national teams.
Yeah.
Nothing would scare me more as an owner, because if all of a sudden, like Zeus for Ukraine, all of a sudden goes, like all of a sudden that team wins it all, right? Those guys are looking at each other and go, why aren't we
playing together again?
Playing together all the time.
Yeah, I mean, Cassie's is playing on a different team, so, and he's kind of been rumored. He's been benched before, came back off the bench, so... If they play like really well, I wouldn't be surprised if they made some sort of change.
And now to our Call of Duty World War II expert.
The connoisseur. No, I mean, I have been trying to pay a lot more attention to it. I see a lot of our viewers asking about Call of Duty, would like for us to talk about it more. So I am making a conscious effort to watch more of the streams and learn a little bit more about the style of play. Everybody seems super pumped up. And this is... this is like the biggest, this is like the CSGO shuffle that we just had recently. You have all the major teams being active for the most part right now, swapping around rosters. People now know that this is not obviously a jetpack game and it's boots on the ground. So you see people aligning with who did well 2 years ago when it was a boots on the ground game. So some of the big changes that have happened, Enigma 6 has signed their roster. General, who has been weak, as far as I know, the past two seasons as an IGL, was a really good boots on the ground player. So he's teamed up with Dashy, Decimate, and Bevels. That'll be an interesting group to keep an eye on, just because, again, seeing if General can step his game up and lead this team. You have some former Envious players teaming up on LG with Slack, JCap, John, and Octane. Another big move was Fnatic parting ways with their COD roster altogether. So they dropped a roster and we're not anticipating any more players, I guess you could say, coming onto that team. So that'll be kind of wrapped up.
So you said Envious is now the MVS roster is now LG?
It's not the whole roster. Two of the players. I believe it's like two of the players.
I feel like I saw them in semis and finals.
MVS has been like the best team really for the past 2.5 years, except for this last world championship where Optic won. Envy had dominated the previous two World Cups. So and that team had stuck together that whole time. So for them to split up, I thought was a little odd. But you see some of them going on to LG, and then the big name player from Envious is signed with Evil Geniuses. This is the most interesting team as far as people chatting about them, the excitement, you know, the nervousness. Is Apathy, who again was kind of the leader on Envious, their best fragger, teaming up with Enable, who just transferred over from FaZe. So that FaZe roster is like kind of
he's like the Tom Brady of Call of Duty, right?
Was
Enable, isn't that the guy with like?
You have Scump. Scump is considered like the best player right now, along with Formal. Both of those players are on Optic. Again, they won the last championship. And then Nameless and Aches. You know, so there's a couple of really big roster moves going on. Interesting to see how it all plays up and where they all kind of land up. But yeah, it's been fun. It's really been their biggest like season for them to get ramped up. So you really won't see many roster changes between now and the end of, you know, end of the year.
Look at you.
Trying to learn a little bit.
You're so esports.
Trying to learn a little bit.
You're so esports, man.
Splice's roster is pretty much also Red Reserve, just an FYI, except for one player. So they just basically changed orgs.
Interesting. Open beta for that game's coming up, I think, for PC, so I'll try it on PC.
Yeah, next weekend?
I think it's the first full weekend in October. And then some other e-news here that I think it's kind of interesting. Optic Gaming is signing the Dota 2 roster. They ended up signing the Dire, which is a roster of basically misfits after the TI that some guys got together. They've were only a team for like a month or two now, and Optic Gaming ended up buying them. The interesting thing, though, to that is not so much that they were picked up. I think it was pretty obvious that they were going to be picked up by someone. But the fact that this is the first time that Optic Gaming is venturing out of FPS.
Yeah. It's good. I mean, they're just growing, man.
Dude, it's
those guys.
They're massive.
They're putting their mark out there. I think it will be kind of curious to see how the Green Wall handles it, just because that is such a FPS fan base, clearly. But I don't think they'll have any issues with fans anywhere. I feel like that Optic fan base is so dedicated to You want to talk about a franchise, like, I will be curious to see the Houston fan base in Overwatch League, knowing that it's Optic.
I think it'll be awesome.
Like, I want to know that fan base. Is that going to pull the Optic?
The more and more I see stuff on Hector, the more and more I like the guy. So I have no doubt that this guy is going to do what it takes to make him grow.
He's okay.
Come on the show.
He's okay. They'll just about do it, though, for us here at the Center Ring. Episode 76 is done. It's over. I hope you enjoyed it. This was supposed to be a shorter episode, but clearly
we don't have the ability to do
we
that.
We don't.
We just don't.
We don't.
We just, it's not our DNA.
We got things to say, and my God, we're going to say it. I hope you enjoyed it, even if you just skipped around or listened all the way to this point. I definitely appreciate you all the same. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at the Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg, that will eventually look different. What else? We got a Discord. Hit us up on Discord again. There might be an ad after we end the show. I don't know. I don't know when all that's going to start. But again, if you want to listen to it, great. That's how you can support the show. If not, I don't really care, bro. I'm just happy you listened. So until next week, for Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. See you later.